Hey everybody, welcome to Athlete on Fire. Scott Jones, your host, catching up with a friend that met out here in Colorado just a little while back, and I wanted to interview her because I really like how positive she is online through the socials. I don't know if she even knows that, but I really do like how much positive stuff she puts out in the world. And we need positive people on this show for sure. And I know she's got a little bit of athletic background. I know she talks a lot about sports. She's been diving into some new endeavors athletically. We'll kind of see how that transcends over her, over the things she's learned over the years. And we're just going to have a very general conversation, kind of like getting back, you know, when you meet up with somebody again at the coffee shop, what would you talk about? That's going to be the goal today. And if it goes well, we'll do it again. We'll kind of figure out how to get these people who are taking their time out to talk to you guys on more regularly, which is a big goal for 2019 with the show in general. So technically Lauren Myrick, but we go by Lo, I believe. Lo, how you doing?
Yes, I'm great. How are you?
I love that because my wife's name is Lauren. So if I can differentiate all the Laurens in the world with different names, I think it's a good thing. Because there's so
just many. Make everyone have a different nickname. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I like it. There's so many Laurens. I meet like another Lauren every day. Well, you know, I help manage and coach and run a gym out here in Colorado, and I swear I meet a Lauren every week. I'm like, come on, give me another name here. It's just ridiculous. Something was going on in the 80s. I don't know. All right, so I'm going to give a little background of how we met, and you can tell me it's been probably 5 years.
I think it has.
You're at one of the races that me and Lauren put on.
Yes, you guys did this awesome running, like brewery running series, and then we just started chatting after one or two of them. I can't remember, but yeah, that was so fun.
Yeah. We still do those things. We have a couple copycats in town now, so they think they we have these copycats that come from like different states and act like they're based in Colorado, which I don't care. There's competition in every sector, right? But the fact that they try to act like they're from here, so we shame them a lot in our marketing. It's very fun. But yeah, we're still doing it. It's still fun, still low key. People come out and run a 5K and then have beer afterwards. And you know, I've gotten to meet so many cool people just from the series alone. And yeah, we got to chat. We had some similar background. I think we talked about volleyball and you were kind of early in your career, just trying to figure out where to be and what to do. And so that's 4 or 5 years ago. I think the best way to start the sucker off is where were you in life back then when I was chatting to you?
And, oh man,
where are you now? Because it seems like you've bounced around a lot. If I'm correct,
I have, but there is some intent behind that. It's not random. So 4 or 5 years ago when we met, I was working for GE, living in Denver, and right about that time, I got recruited by some guys who did a couple startups, and I started working with them, and that is really when things for me career wise really started to take off. And just being exposed to the like startup culture coming from GE, which is like this behemoth of a company, right? It's one of the oldest companies that's still around. And then going to startup land, which as you know, is very challenging. But you learn so much because you're just forced into doing things and you're like, well, I'm just going to try this and see if it works. And if not, try something else. I started working with them, did a couple different things with them, started my own company. A lot of people were starting to come to me for consulting. So I was like, well, I just might as well start my own consulting company on the side. Then I did that for a while. And I do this really cool blend of coaching and consulting. So I do have a background in life coaching. I did training for that. And then I kind of blend that with just traditional business consulting in a myriad of different areas. But I tend to focus on, and what I'm better at than most people is the kind of strategy, right? Coming up with, if someone has an idea, I can say, okay, what are your goals around this? Like, when do you want to launch? Give me the timeline. And then we kind of put together a plan for launching it, you know, marketing and just thinking about how you're going to create value with customers and interact with people. And so that's a lot of what I did in my company. And then one of my clients hired me full time this past year. I think it was like 2017. What year is it? It's 2019 right now.
I think we are in 2019.
2017 Thanksgiving, I think I joined them full time, and that company is Monate Global. And so now I'm a marketing director for them, and I get to help all of their salespeople who essentially have their own businesses succeed and give them tools to do.
Oh, cool.
To do that.
So what were those first startups out here in Colorado that you're talking about, the guys you met?
Yeah, the companies, one was like a biotech startup, was called Renaissance RX. They went through some struggles. That was a partnership. And then we started Highline Labs, and that was actually based in Charlotte, which is where I am now. And then we had a software company that was working with doctors and technologies. And then we started a skincare company. So just like literally all over the place. Yeah.
I bet you had, you know, so many people listen are athletes, and I've had so many traumatic failures in business, you know, along with the successes, but always learn a lot from those bad boys. I mean, I don't have an actual MBA, but I can promise you that my bank account says that I've paid for a real life MBA a few times over. So, you know, you learn all these things from failures. If you're working in the startup world in any way, shape, or form, you've had experience with some kind of failure, whether it's on a daily, kind of a negotiation that went wrong, or just a big failure as far as just a big loss or just a big mistake. So do you have any like really big ones that come to mind when you're thinking about these startups in that part of your career and life?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, so the skincare one, is now that business is closed. It never really took off, but it was, we went into it and we didn't have a background in skincare. We also opened it as a direct selling company. So, similar to the business I'm in now, but it's like the Avon, the Mary Kay style, right? You're selling directly from a friend or someone, you know, and you just purchase from them. So they're not sold in stores. And it was just such a crazy world to get into without having the background of it, number one. And then also I think like the biggest lessons learned from that were we went in so like guns blazing. We're like spending money on so much stuff. And then we're like, oh, okay, we need to like get the momentum of this business going, and did it a little bit backwards. So it didn't end up working out. I think the concept was amazing, but there's just so many unknowns when you're doing like not only one new thing, but two new things, like both the industry and the way that you're selling. So just totally, totally different experience, but I learned so much.
Yeah. Were you guys bootstrapping that one?
Some of the other businesses allowed us to pretty much finance that, directly.
Okay.
So yeah.
No, it's interesting when there's a fine line. Like I coach a lot of endurance athletes and just athletes in general. And sometimes the things that you don't know actually help you, because, you know, take running a marathon, for instance, the things that you know about pace and the things that you don't know about pacing can both destroy or help your day. So, you know, a lot of people hit that wall right around that 18 to 22 mile mark. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people just continue to push through. If they don't understand that that's a common wall that people hit based on 100 different things, but typically nutrition and fatigue because of your training. And if you're hitting that wall, but you're pushing through and you're ignorant to it, and you just know that you need to keep working for about 6 or 7 more miles, then you can succeed in a different way. But once you learn those pacing and once you learn all the things that are fairly common, then it kind of messes with your mind a little bit. Like, oh, this is supposed to happen. It's going to happen. You know, you're almost waiting for failure to happen in a lot of ways. I see that happen with business a lot. The way that me and Lauren, my wife and a couple partners with businesses I've had, approached certain things before we failed in certain ways. We just went, you know, guns blazing. We'd walk into huge marketing firms and pitch something on a cold call walk in and like actually have accounts come from it. We're like, we look back now, like how in the hell do we friggin', you know,
how did we do this?
Five
pull this
figures
off. Yeah.
Walking in the door with the goofiest, you know, fun, goofy concepts, but that were unique. And, but until you, you know, until you hit the wall a few times, you don't get gun shy about that stuff. Have you found that, like, you take the things, that are positive when it comes to entrepreneurial stuff and business stuff, even if they're hard to replicate, like just the guns blazing type of concept, you take those with you and then you try to learn from the mistakes, like, okay, we're getting into a new sector here. We've got to do a little more research. How have you used those concepts to kind of push forward with the stuff you don't know?
You know, as you were kind of explaining that, I think it's so interesting and true. Like, your mindset can determine so much. So if, like, you go in and you're like, oh, these are the set of, you know, beliefs I know to be true, you can limit yourself, whether it's in business or in athletics, or in relationship, I mean, whatever. And so I think it is cool to not know anything going in, because you don't know what's possible. But I do think there are some, I don't know, I think there's just some, like, best practices in business in general. But I don't agree by doing everything by the book all the time, because obviously that's where innovation comes from. I'm not sure if this is answering your question, but but yeah, so I like to know a little bit about the business or industry I'm in, kind of a background, but I try not to let that influence the decisions that I'm going to make. And especially when it comes to, like, the whole marketing world has changed so much with social media in the past 5 to 10 years. So it's just crazy, you know, the difference you see now and how companies are connecting to consumers and creating trust and building relationships. So I don't think there's, like, one right way to do anything. Like, there's unlimited possibilities almost always. But then there's, like, those one or two things that you're like, okay, just definitely don't do that. Yeah. No, and you can think about that with training too, right? It's like, okay, like, you know your limits of, like, overtraining, and it's like, other than that, like, there's not a lot you can mess up.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's interesting. I'm always interested in how people learn from their little and big failures, and how you kind of push forward. Like, you know, me and Lauren had an event company besides the events that you went to that did lots of revenue, but lots of money went out. And there's a big, there's a big debt from that. And we adopted some principles on how to, you know, kind of control our downside on some of these concepts from an overhead standpoint, and just conceptually, and how we market things and set expectations for, you know, consumers, clients, you know, runners that are coming out to do this fun stuff. And it's actually worked really well, but it can be painful, man. It can definitely be painful. I'll say that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But I, you know what, I don't like to, I position failures a little bit differently. I like to think of them as learning experiences. And I mean, I think most things that happen are really not that bad. And a lot of times we as a society can overreact to, like, a failure or something going wrong. Most things can be mitigated, obviously, not everything. You know, like, losing huge sums of money is not great. But I think there's learning in everything that goes right and wrong. And it's just the perspective that you choose to have while looking at that. So yeah, certainly to what you said, you're like, especially in business, you've got to watch your expenses versus the revenue coming in. I think that's huge. That was a big lesson that in this compare company that we learned. You know, we got super excited and then we're like, oh man, okay. But yeah, that's, I don't know. I think it's all in your perspective and your mindset and how you choose to look at the things that have gone right and wrong, and then yet let that inform your decisions going forward.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I work with a lot of ultra runners, and people freak out about the possibility of DNF in some of these races. And I'm like, I've DNF'd, you know, I still woke up the next day. The amount of things that you learn based on the individual, on what they need for their training and for their day of and their mental toughness. Like, sometimes you just got to, even if you feel like you've put a good training set in, there's so many variables, the day of variables, the training variables, and sometimes it's not going to work out, but you can get out there, troubleshoot, figure out what you did wrong and give it a go. And a lot of times when you hit the wall a few times in these big events for athletes and you finally break through, it's way more rewarding. Like, if you just nailed it the first time, every time, it just wouldn't feel so good when you finally did hit it, you know? Mm-hmm. I always think that's interesting. I like the, there's a quote, this guy wears a shirt at the gym that I'm at right now all the time. And it says, I've either won or I've learned. And that's pretty much my mentality. I really like that.
I love that. It's really that's good. Great.
All right. So Lo, what is your athletic background?
What is my athletic background? I grew up swimming. I think my parents put me in the pool really young, and I could like swim when I was 3 or something, which is crazy. And I started competing when I was 7, I think. Competed all the way through high school, college. Started to play water polo, so learned how to do that. Was really, really clumsy on land. I think my mom made me do cross country for a couple years, but I hated it. I think I cried before every race. It was so horrible. I was awkward. I didn't like land activities. And then I got hurt, and I'd struggled with shoulder injuries in high school and college. And it got to the point in college where I could hardly be in the water, which was an interesting way to try to compete. But I started doing more stuff, like more dry land, and I started running more to try to make up for the time I couldn't be in the water. And then when I was done with school, I was like, I need to do something. And so I was like, I'll just run a half marathon. And with like not an ample amount of time to train, but finished it. And I don't know, from there, I just kind of kept getting more curious about like what was available to me outside of the pool. So I couldn't be in the pool anymore. And, and then like this year I just started doing triathlons, which is kind of weird. I waited this long, but it's been super fun.
You know, swimmers that have, or triathletes that have a swimming background do really well in the sport, because biking, I mean, let's be honest, especially road biking. How do you not figure out how to do that? You just got to get on a bike.
Man, it is tough though. Like I struggle the most with biking because it's the thing that I haven't done. Cause so now I've been running for, I'd say like fairly consistently for 10 years or so, maybe a little bit longer. But biking, like I think I took my first spin class like 2 years ago. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm like severely behind, but now I'm loving spin, and I get a little nervous to ride on the roads, but I'm definitely working on that. But yeah, the swim is great because I usually come out of the water first, and then people catch me on the bike.
What distance are you doing?
Just sprints. I did 4 sprints last year, and then I did this other endurance race that we can talk about in a bit. But I travel a really fair amount for work. I think I'm on the road at least twice a month, if not more. And it's hard to train for stuff when you're traveling. And so I was going to do an international one this year. I'm actually bummed I didn't get to, but that's about all I can handle and all I want to do at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. So I had a couple questions along that little bio. So where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Okay. And what college did you go to?
I started off at Pitt and swam there D1. And then after my sophomore year, I transferred to a smaller D2 school, Gannon University, to swim and play polo before my retirement.
Your retirement, yeah. Yeah, I did the same thing. I started off D1 and then I finished at D2 school playing baseball. But you know, it's funny, we used to we played water polo in the off season for conditioning for baseball, which is really, really good for baseball players.
Like real water polo? You weren't using floaties?
No, we were playing real. I mean, it was just the team. But we swam a lot for conditioning for baseball in college, which I really like for just flexibility for shoulders because we're throwing so much and general non-pounding exercise. But water polo for, you know, a lot of the guys were really actually pretty good without knowing the sport really, really well, you know. But our coach would just throw us in there for an hour and we'd play, no floaties, none of that stuff. It was brutal. And we were a pretty physical group of dudes. But, man, if you've never played that sport, it's so freaking fun. Yeah, I love that sport.
Yeah, it's super fun and very intense.
Yeah, you feel like you're going to die at least 5 times a game.
Yeah.
Which is great. Or drown. I love this.
That's awesome conditioning, though. I've never heard of another team really being in the pool that much for cross training. But I mean, it's incredible because it's low impact.
Yeah.
As long as you're not overusing your shoulders. But
yep.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. And compared to baseball, is even, you know, we're throwing 1,000 times a day. So, you know, you probably threw the ball probably, I don't know, 20, 30 times in the game that we were playing. So,
yeah.
Not too bad. Yeah, I love this stuff. So coming out of the water, getting used to the bike, what's the hardest thing for the, first of all, you're in Charlotte. There's decent infrastructure out there. You can get out on the paths and ride. You're just a whim.
Not really.
No?
The city's not, there's like a few bike lanes here and there, but the roads were just not built for that. And I would need to have a group, and I haven't found any outdoor riding groups. And I'm like, I'll just go to the spin class and then go for a run right after that. So
yeah.
I can't like get myself to, it's totally me not being comfortable with it. But, yeah, there's been a couple accidents here that were really sad. So,
yeah, even in Colorado, we have accidents here and there, and it's a very cycling friendly place, and we have the infrastructure is crazy. Like I could go for a 100-mile bike ride right now without getting on the road if I wanted to.
Yeah, it's so awesome.
It's very nice. You know where else is good for that? Have you been to Twin Cities, like Minneapolis?
I have. Yeah, they have incredible bike lanes.
Yeah, it's really fun. Like you can do this 35 mile loop around the whole city, and you see all the parks and all these bridges that go over the river. You know, it's just a really cool. Really cool loop. I mean, you got to wait until about May, but if any of your travels take you there, it's a great spot for sure.
It's very cold up there.
Oh man, it's brutal. Brutal, brutal. All right. So I know you, we're going to talk about the working out piece and traveling. Mm-hmm. I have so many clients. I was doing the math the other day, Lo. I've trained over 35,000 one-on-one sessions in my career. And that's not counting
all
of the coaching. It's not counting all of the virtual coaching. It's not counting the group stuff that I do. That's just one-on-one. So I've been able to tap into so many, not excuses, but roadblocks for people who are trying to stay fit, just recreational athletes like me and you. And the traveling thing is probably one of the top two or three things that is really, really hard to get people into a good spot for. You know, have plenty of business travelers and people mm-hmm. who are only home for 3 days a week trying to figure this out, because a lot of the traveling goes along with socializing and social drinking and bad eating and all these things, bad sleep and weird sleep hours, all that stuff. So I guess in your travels in the last, you know, whatever, 6 months to a year, what are a couple of things that are really working for you when you're on the road that you think would help other people?
Yeah, I have to, like, non-negotiable, you've got to get the workout done in the morning. Because as you just mentioned, traveling is very social, and especially the way that I do it. We're always out for like team dinners or things after, and it's just very difficult to get a workout in after. So forcing myself to wake up, you know, early, and then it's also tough because like when I'm home, I just work from home. So I usually don't have to like get ready. So there's that added fun when you're on the road and like, oh, okay, not only am I in a different place and have to find a gym, like I have to get ready too. But yeah, I think for me, it's 100% getting the workout done in the morning, even if it's only 30 minutes, you know, just doing some like really intense high interval, stuff. And I always stay in a gym that has a hotel, or in a hotel that has a gym.
Is there a certain amount of sleep that you have to have, or is that non-negotiable? You just have to get up and get it in.
I've been sticking to the, I have to get up and get it in. Yeah. And I remember there was a time like 2 weeks ago, I was in Miami and I had like 4 hours of sleep and I was like, well, I'm going to do this. And I felt so much better afterwards. It's a mentality.
Yeah. I was about to say that. It's 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Like if you can get 20 or 30 minutes of high intensity work,
it's a game changer.
The 20, 30 minutes of extra sleep is not going to make you feel as good as the 20 minutes to 30 minutes of exercise to get your endorphins up to actually
1,000% agree. Couldn't agree more. And it's also like, if you're on just like one day of sleep, like one day of bad sleep, I think you can overcome that extremely easily. And there's actually, I read, like, you can trick your brain. Like, if you just trick your brain into believing, like, I'm not tired, like, I had enough sleep, you will feel better. Like, you can just tell yourself that. It's scientifically proven. And so, yeah, in the 20 minutes too, like, that's what I think about a lot. I'm like, am I really going to feel like that much more amazing with 20 more minutes? Like, probably not.
Yeah.
Of sleep, but of the workout, 1,000%.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And just the, I mean, I could smoke somebody out if I was training them in 8 minutes easily. So you can definitely smoke yourself out in 20, 30, just with a good set. Do you have any go-to sets, or do you just kind of go in there and randomly figure it out?
If I can't get to a gym, I really do prefer like group classes these days, because I already do enough work and I really don't feel like coming up with a workout. And so, I might, you know, look one up online. But if I can't get to a group class, I will do some sort of, circuit that involves running on the treadmill, depending on what kind of equipment they have. Like if they have a rower, that's awesome. But I'll usually do, like a weighted element, like a run, weighted element, and then row or maybe run again. So I usually do like 4 to 5 different exercises and repeat that 4 to 5 times, just depending on time and what the exercises are.
Nice.
But I feel like that's super effective. Like it gets your heart rate up. You know, you're still lifting, which is super key. And like you said, like you can get a really good sweat in 20, 30 minutes.
Yep, for sure. That's good. All right. What other things are really helping with travel? So morning is non-negotiable. You got to get it in pretty much no matter what.
Yep.
You like group stuff if you can.
Yeah. And so I try to find a gym, and it's actually super convenient. Our headquarters is in Miami, and, it's not right in Miami. We're out in the burbs a little bit. But there's actually a gym right below the office, which has been amazing. So I'll go in there, before work and then just shower and go right upstairs. It's can't get easier than that. So I try to make it in there as often as I can. And then I think the other key for me is when I do go out to eat with people, just trying to keep it healthy. Like I do a lot of salads and fish. That's pretty easy. You can find that almost anywhere. And then just limit, carbs, except French fries. I love French fries.
Gotta have fries, man.
Gotta have fries. And then, yeah, try not to have too many drinks, but sometimes it's a little easier said than done.
Yeah, you get the social thing going. It's a little tricky. Mm-hmm. All right, so I think that'll help people for sure. I think the non-negotiable mornings is the biggest thing. Just get off the snooze, wake up, bust it out for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure the biggest thing. And then, yeah, just knowing, like, just having like go-tos. Like I always look for fish on the menu, and then like if I can't do a salad, I'll do like, you know, asparagus or broccoli or something. It's not, you know, just knowing like, oh, okay. Like I know exactly what to look for every single time.
Yeah. That's cool. All right. So here's a question. This can apply to you athletically, business, personally, however you want to go. And I'm just looking for one answer here, so you don't have to go across the spectrum, but what's the best habit you have currently that you didn't have 3 years ago?
Didn't have 3 years ago.
Yep. What's a newer habit that's really working for you that you didn't have not too long ago?
Interesting. One thing, I recently restarted my morning routines. I can't remember if I had them or not 3 years ago. So, well, this has been huge though lately. So I do want to talk about this. At some point in the past, I had a more structured morning routine. I can't remember when. but I really have made an effort, kind of like the workouts, to restart that in the probably past 2 months. When I get up, I always make my bed, but drink a glass of water. It's just great to get your metabolism going. And then I do just a quick like journaling gratitude reflection, and then part of the morning movement, like even if it's an active recovery day, I'm like do an easy bike or yoga or something. And I try to do all this before picking up my phone. And not necessarily picking up my phone, but starting to work. I try not to go on IG or open my email, unless I get like a text or a missed call from someone super early, which is very rare. I try to just start my day off super intentionally and then know like, okay, what are the three things I really need to get done today? And then dive into the work and working on that stuff so that I'm not just like picking up my email and starting to react to things. And then you can lose so much time without being intentional. Right. So that's huge. And I also don't keep my phone in my bedroom. I actually put it in the kitchen or the bathroom, charging overnight. When I was working for the startups, I would find myself like going to sleep with my phone in front of my face, you know, like working, responding to stuff, and then like waking up, and then you pick it up and you start again. And I'm like, holy shit, this is so unhealthy. Yeah, and so, and that was a little bit more than 3 years ago. It was probably about four or five years ago that I started to do that. But yeah, those are so key, so crucial. Just to be able to start the day off on the right foot.
Just be intentional, know what your plan is when you wake up. You said you always make your bed, so you get that quick win, little satisfaction mm-hmm. there. You get the water, so you take care of your body a little bit. Get journaling a little bit, so you take care of your mind. And then mm-hmm. get your blood flowing with some kind of light exercise before you even start working. I think that's a great plan for most people. It's funny. You know, like morning routines.
It's so simple.
It's so simple. Yeah, it is. And then, well, just a point on morning routines. Like if you look, you know, there's some thought leaders out there and there's some podcasters who are pretty famous. And there's just people that are just like, you know, diving into morning routines. Like it's the only thing that matters. And yes, I believe it matters, but mm-hmm. I do have a conspiracy that none of these people have children, and
true. I do not have kids, but so it's a lot easier.
Well, no, actually, what I'd like to say is like what you just said is completely doable with kids.
Yes,
some of the stuff is not.
The journal that I use, just I do want to mention this because I think a lot of people struggle with like, oh, journaling or you know, like what do I write or like how do I reflect and be grateful. There's a journal called the 5 Minute Journal, and literally it takes 5 minutes and you do it just at the beginning of the day. And at the end of the day, it's life changing.
Yeah.
But yeah, sorry. I just wanted to add that piece in.
No, that's great. So is there a website with that where people can find it?
Yep, absolutely. I think it's just 5minutejournal.com. These Canadians, I think started it a couple years ago. They were, I don't know if they're working with Tim Ferriss, but Tim Ferriss, that's how I found out about it. So he was really into it. And then they've done like a productivity planner and some other stuff. But it's just such a simple, small tool to start your day intentionally. And then like have just a sense of gratitude as you start your day too. Like it, and sometimes I'll write things like, I'm grateful for sunshine today, you know, and sometimes it's more specific. Like I'm so grateful for a friend or family member. So yeah, there's so many ways you can go with it.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, you know, like these long meditations with my kids, that junk ain't happening. Sorry.
Yeah.
That might happen in the middle of the day. It's not happening when I wake up. I'm trying to keep my kid from punching me in the face by 6 a.m. That's my goal.
Do you find you're able to create some space for yourself in the mornings?
Yes, because I'm psychotic and I get up at 3:30 and I usually start with clients or work at around 5. I try to get a lot done before my kids wake up so that I can actually be around them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, my kids, they sleep till 6:30 or 7, which is reasonable, but I typically have clients or work from 5 or 5:30 to about 9. That's like a morning routine, but I'll get up at 3:30, 3:45, do a lot of stuff that you said, like drink some water, stretch out a little bit, and I like to either get into the deep thought type work that I have a hard time doing later in the day when stuff distracts me,
mm-hmm.
or I like to just go for a run or a ride or something. Even I don't care how cold it is, I'll just get out and do it because you know my brain works so much better after working out right away. And so yeah, that's typically how I do it. And then my morning, you know, I'm eating lunch by 9 o'clock. So it's crazy. I can't say I get up at 3:30 every day, but 3 to 4 days a week I do, just so I can get stuff done. Cause the whole being intentional thing, I don't really own a lot of the time from the rest of the day because I have responsibilities to the work that I've created for myself as an entrepreneur, whether it's a call like this or, you know, actual one-on-one training or doing marketing with this facility out here in Colorado. A lot of my time gets whisked away, and then it's really hard as a parent in the evening, 'cause you want to see your kids and, just trying to roadmap the next 2 to 4 years, 'cause my kids will be in school. Both of them will be in school full time at that point, where from 5 o'clock, 4 or 5 o'clock on, I have free at least 3 to 4 days a week. So that's a big goal of mine, just kind of roadmapping that stuff.
But yeah, that'll be cool. Yeah. That's awesome that you're already starting to think about, you know, how you guys will kind of function as a team, as a family, yeah, as that changes.
That's it, though. Well, yeah. It's funny, 'cause you know, like, I didn't have kids to let other people raise them. Like, I want to be around these little dudes. So, you know, the way that we've done, we've made financial sacrifices to be around our kids more than what I think a lot of people are, as far as both parents. Like, we're both around them a lot. Mm-hmm. So we've made those sacrifices, but then also looking forward and finding out, okay, they're going to be in school. So why, you know, my schedule is going to be different, as far as spending time with them. And I saw a stat the other day. This is crazy. You can use this with people who have kids that are trying to figure out time management and stuff in your business, consulting. But by the time your kids are 18, you've already spent, I think they said 80% of the time you will with them for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Which is pretty wild.
Yeah. I've seen a stat similar to that. Like, yeah, the time, I don't know if it was time you have with your kids or your parents or something like that, but it's crazy.
Yeah.
And I love how intentional you are about this, because I think time intentionality is everything. Knowing what's important to you. And I talk to people about this all the time. Every single person has got to figure out what is important to them. Like, what do you want to spend your time doing? And then being able to set aside the time to actually do those things. And, you know, a lot of people set goals or make New Year's resolutions like, oh, I want to do this or that. You know, like, I want to run a marathon, right? For example. And it's like, okay, well, do you know that that's going to take X amount of hours every single week? Are you willing to do that? But if they're not actually willing to make the time and the space in their day-to-day calendar, like, that's not actually a good goal or a core value or whatever. And I struggle with that, because so many people don't follow it up with like the actual dedication of the time and effort.
And I
love how you talked about, you know, spending time with your kids is extremely important, and you've made sacrifices in other areas because you know that's number one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would say mostly in earning potential. Like, you know, we see our return on our time marketing, our entrepreneurial stuff is it's pretty easy to predict based on how much time we put into things. We see X amount of dollars. And I think the fact that the sacrifice for us is the freedom, like, we have to have freedom. We are both, I would call, fairly unemployable at this point in our lives and careers. So we plan things out way in advance based on just the way things have worked out. Like, some of the failures have taught us to do that. And some of us just been from experience learning that we have to do it, and we figured it out. So it doesn't mean it's perfect, but it at least it's something we're following and trying to, you know, stick to, which is pretty cool.
Right. Right.
I have a good one. That's based on habits. I like the morning routine. So this is a fun little kind of like, actually, no, there's one other thing I wanted to talk about before we do the fun quick hitters. The swim run event you did, that looked really cool.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Tell me about that thing.
Yeah. So holy moly. It was a total of, I think 15 and a half miles of trail running. And, I think just under 2 miles of swimming. It was, and you keep alternating. So, and I think this is close to what it was, but like, we ran 5 miles, ran to this lake, did a couple laps in the lake, ran up the mountain more. And they're like, you have to take a picture at the top of the mountain before you can come down. We're like, okay. So then you go back down, do a couple more laps in the lake, run another 5 miles to the end, to this river, the water was so cold. And it's a partner race, and you have to stay with you cannot leave your partner. So, my cousin, I did it with my cousin. You could either do, like males, females, or mixed. We did mixed. He's a great runner, and so he had to kind of like slow down for me. And I'm a little bit stronger swimmer for him, but like you cannot get more than like 10 yards apart from each other the whole race. So it's such a bizarre experience. I definitely didn't get to train enough running. Leading up to that, I just had a crazy fall. And yeah, it was so fun though. I would definitely want to do another one.
How long did it take?
Oh my God. I think it was like 5 hours and 45 minutes.
Nice.
It was so intense. It was definitely the hardest thing I've ever done. My cousin has done a half Ironman, and he said this was harder. And I was like, okay, cool.
I want to do it. That sounds really fun. And plus, you don't have to worry about gear. Like the problem with triathlon, there's not, you know, not that it's a problem, but is the bike, because there's gear issues. You know, like if you get a flat, if your chain pops,
yeah,
all that stuff that comes in the safety issue sometimes. I mean, that's never going to be an issue for why I would pick something, but it is a barrier to entry for people. But I love the idea of just being rugged, man. Like, oh, there's a friggin' lake, hit it, you know, and then get back. And you know how hard it is to get your legs back after you swim a nice little chunk?
No, it felt great for me to be in the water.
No, what I'm saying is when you come from water to running, like it takes a good few minutes to get your legs back underneath you to run, you know?
Oh, I didn't think it was bad.
No?
I didn't struggle with that personally, but also I think because my background is so different and I've swam for so long, I didn't have that struggle. But there were definitely people struggling coming out of the water and being able to start moving again. So yeah, you're totally right.
What's where do you find these events?
I think a friend sent that one to me. I don't know. I can't remember where I found that one, but those are called, I think they're like Otillo races, and they're just called swim run races. And they have them like all over the place. They started in Scandinavia where it's like real cold and people are total badasses.
Oh, here we go. I found it. Swim Run Shop. They have a calendar all over the world.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Let's see if they have one in Colorado.
Ooh. Oh, I bet you they do.
We have, my wife's been doing a lot of the stand-up paddleboarding stuff for a lot of the women's groups she does. And, you know, all these inflatables come in packs. So we're going to do a lot of alpine stand-up paddleboarding this summer. So that's going to be sweet. But that water's freaking cold, man. Holy crap. All right, so check that out. That sounds like a good adventure for people who are out there trying to find some new exciting stuff. Swimrunshop.com. Maybe I'll find somebody over there that can talk about it a little bit. That'd be cool. Okay, last little piece of the talk today. I know, like I said, you're very positive on your social stuff over at Instagram. Is it Lo Myrick, L-O?
Mm-hmm.
Myrick,
M-Y-R-I-C-K, yeah.
There you go, at Lo Myrick on Instagram. So in the people that you follow, people that you think are inspiring and positive out there, let's give about 2 or 3, 4 people some shout outs, and why you think they're inspiring, what they're doing, what they're up to. And we'll finish with that.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Okay. So one of my best friends, Janie Brown, she's incredible. She's at Janie B World. She's totally mindset based. She started this program called Fierce Academy, just helping people meet and overcome their fears. And overcome is the wrong word, really. You know, acknowledging your fears, but being able to act in spite of them. Who else is really good right now? So one of my friends, a guy that I was a business partner with, Wes Knight. He's pretty funny. He's at Wesley T. Knight, and he's now working with this guy, Charlie Rocket. He's just at Charlie. Like, that's how cool he is.
He got at Charlie. Who the heck got at Charlie?
He's been in the music business for a long time. His story is so incredible, and I'm just learning more about it. But he used to be in the music business, and he was just overweight, not happy, and like he was really not having a good time with life. And he decided to quit, and he's like, I'm going to be an Ironman. And literally like 1 year, he started training like in 1 year, went from 300 pounds to finishing an Ironman.
Nice.
And literally, like, he hadn't worked out or anything before that. It's crazy. He also had a brain tumor that he reversed with just the power of positive thinking. The guy's got just an incredible story, and he's like a Nike sponsored athlete right now. I mean, he's cool. His energy is amazing. So definitely check him out. I'm trying to think. Those are the top people that come to mind.
That's good. That's three right there. I like it.
Yeah.
Janie B. World, Wesley T. Knight, and at Charlie. Somehow you got that name. It's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome, Lo. Well, this is a great first chat. Is there anything that you just, you know, is in the back of your mind you really want to get out before we hop off?
No, thanks for having me on. I'm super excited. I love having these kinds of chats, and I guess I'd encourage people to like have these conversations in real life more, you know, like talk about what people are doing, like what they're doing to innovate. And to me, I think we talked a lot about mindset, but like mindset is just so huge. It can control and shape your life, and you really do have the power to do whatever it is you want to do. If you believe that you can do it. It's like such a core principle to me, and I have a project I'm excited about. Maybe next time we can talk about it, that I'm starting this year. It's going to be a really, fun project, but it's largely mindset based. And I'm just in teaching people tools, so that they can understand how to like apply some of these concepts and break it down in a way that hopefully they can understand.
No, that's awesome, Lo. I think it's fairly apparent that you have the mindset of an athlete, and it translates into everything you do. So you were a perfect interview today. And the way I always finish these things, just to let you know, like when you have a new project, when you have a story, when you have anything that you think is going to be interesting to the types of people that are listening to this, just hit me up. We'll do it again. Really appreciate your time.
That's awesome. And this is one more thing on my mind. Have you gotten into the science at all of like, the more you push your mind, the more you can push your body, and the more that you push your body, the more you can push your mind? Have you read or seen this at all?
You know, I'm reading a book right now called Endure. It kind of covers a lot of those concepts. You know, my grad work and actually science, we talked a lot about mental toughness and the athlete. And then I would say coaching ultra runners and endurance athletes over the last 10 years, it's almost common sense that this is going on. Like, take the science out of it. When you push past a certain threshold physically and mentally, you're going to be able to get to that threshold without the same stimulus and the same stress, and you're going to be able to push past that. I think ultra running is a great example, because people hit these walls that they've hit in the past, but they realize they have to continue to move for another 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 hours.
And, yep.
The fact that you can go through multiple walls, you know, when all you ever ran was 3 miles and I asked you to run 10, you're going to hit a wall at mile 4 and realize, I had to push in a different way. Like, that stimulus is something that I can handle.
Yeah.
I'd say anecdotally for sure. Scientifically, I think through my grad studies and just stuff that I read and study now, it's definitely a thing.
Yeah, no, it 100% is. I'll have to find, there's one really amazing article. They did a study on this, and they literally like were testing people, like, you know, not standardized tests, but they had written verbal tests, and then they, you know, put people through different exercises and tested them again, and their performance increased and their mental capacity increased when you're doing both, like when you push yourself mentally and physically at the same time. Like, it's just like an amazing cycle.
No, awesome. I mean, yeah. I'm kind of addicted to both of that, the mental and physical aspects.
100%.
It's just fun, man. Awesome, Lo. Appreciate your time. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Check her out at Lo Myrick on the Instagram. Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show with Lo. She was awesome. She's got a lot of good insight, and she's living exactly everything that she talks about. Like, she is walking the walk, which is pretty cool. I think that's really what you look for in leaders and partners and people that you want to train with and work out with and work together and friends and all that stuff. So people who are actually doing the stuff they say they are. In any case, hope you guys enjoyed it. my other project, Becoming Ultra, we are taking applicants for season 7 for the Cloud Splitter race in Virginia in October. It's a beautiful race. Go check it out. It's becomingultra.com. You'll see season 7 application, and you can kind of just meander around on the site as you explore it anyway. So appreciate you guys. Thanks a lot for listening, and have a great day wherever you are.